Today's podcast is brought to you by The Grace Curley Show. Listen daily before Howie Show. For station and times, go to gracecurlyshow.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. And just on the small numbers, you're off on these numbers.
Don't you just hate wrong numbers?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
President Trump is the arsonist here. Yeah. You've started this fire, and now you're saying, whoa, look at this. Oh, my God. All these people believe what we told them.
This fire was started when you completely ignored, for example, our investigation of Hunter Biden. You know, no evidence of wrongdoing there, and now we find out after the election, no, there is a fair amount of evidence to the point that we have a real FBI investigation.
Senator,
so unashamed and unstoppable.
Again, I don't drink, but I'm happy to have ice cream with anybody anytime.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So we're about an hour away to the president's rally, election eve rally in the Peachtree State of Georgia. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you are too. I'd be interested in seeing what he has to say about the Secretary of State down there. I guess he filed two lawsuits against him for leaking the recording of his settlement talks with Secretary of State. Trump is, and the campaign has been suing the state of Georgia over the flawed, shall we say, election.
Would you like to hear a little bit of Joe Biden in Georgia today?
Oh, yes, of course. Before we move on to the pay raises on Beacon Hill, go ahead.
You voted in record numbers in November. Your voices were heard. Your votes were counted. The will of the people prevailed. We won three times here.
They won three times?
Apparently. That's where all those other votes were from. They had a secret election.
Maybe he's talking about 1988 when he first ran for president, although I thought he dropped out before 1988 even arrived. I think he dropped out in late 1987, maybe, and then the second time, I guess, would be 2008 when he dropped out pretty early as well, and now he's run again.
Wait, is he counting the times he was elected as vice president?
That could be, too. That would be three times he actually did, quote-unquote, win. All right. Glad he's amused. Anyway, you saw the front page of the Herald today that the automatic pay raises, that the Solons in the general court got a lot of bad ink, a lot of bad publicity over the years with their pay raises, their secret pay raises that they would vote. One year they voted them on Halloween. So now they've decided to give themselves cost of living raises every 2 years. Every new session they get another pay raise. So the new legislature has been sworn in, and or was about to be sworn in. I don't know if they've done it. I think they've done it, or they will be doing it anyway. So they get a new pay raise. Their base salary has gone up $4,280. That's an increase of what, 6%. They're going up. Their base pay is now $70,537. But wait. That's just the beginning. So, well, the state suffered through the largest unemployment rate in the country for several months last year, still has the highest nursing home death rate in the country, third highest overall death rate in the country. The legislators have decided to pat themselves on the back and give themselves, or automatically receive, because they say they have nothing to do with it. It's law. Hey, you can't fight City Hall or the State House. So they took the pay raise to $4,280. That's about $80 a week. But wait, there's more. They all get a stipend, or 139 of the 200 hacks in the legislature get a stipend for their arduous leadership duties. And remember, they don't even meet anymore. There's about all the so-called work writing the budget is done by about four people. But 139 of them get stipends. And the stipend, the lowest stipend now is $16,245. So in the, of the senators, all 40 of the senators get at least $16,000. So the minimum pay in the Senate is $86,000 a year. And the stipends go all the way up to $86,640 for the House Speaker and the Senate President. So that means that Mariano and Spilka are getting over $160,000. But wait, there's more. They get the commuting money. The commuting money, if you live within 15 miles or 50 miles of the state house, you collect an extra $16,250. Used to collect it. Now you go up to $17,000. So that means the lowest paid senator with his what used to be known as per diems is now making $103,000. The lowest paid senator. All right. Meanwhile, Charlie Parker says he's not taking his $9,800 raise. Neither is pay to play Polito. But I didn't know this. Did you know that the governor gets a $60,000 housing allowance? $60,000 housing allowance. So the Beacon Hill News Service is reporting that Charlie Parker is now making $270,000 a year. 603 says, what is the cost of living is the raise based upon? My cost of living raise for the past 2 years was zip. Yeah, my pay at the Herald has gone up zip. Actually, last year for part of the year when the lockdown was going on, I took a 20% pay cut for 2 or 3 months. So my pay went down. I own the show, so that's different. But my actual pay at the Herald went down last year. But then I'm not a Solon. I think the Social Security increase this year was a gaudy 1.3%. 1.3%. And for the Solons, it was 6.4%. So I guess they're five times as more valuable as everybody who's on Social Security. Five times the pay raise. All right. 844-500-4242. Taylor, how would you rate today's press conference?
Oh, he got very, very, very angry today when asked about the election. So we can definitely
let's start with that before we go into the local panic porn.
All right, so let's go to which is good, which is good.
I'm leaving it to you.
I'm going to start at cut 8 is where he actually started. Kind of scoffed after he was asked how he thinks the challenges are going.
Okay.
I can't remember who said this over the weekend, but someone said President-elect Joe Biden won the election fair and square.
I think that was George Soros who said that. I could be wrong. All right, what's next?
So I'll skip to cut 11, where he really starts to get riled up, and he starts saying that all of these challenges are getting a little too ridiculous, even though they're all completely legal and constitutional.
I think the noise and the accusations and the commentary about challenging this or that is an affront to democracy and to the voice of the people who turned out in record numbers in this election to support a whole bunch of candidates up and down the ticket.
Is an unconstitutional shutdown of the state for almost a year now, is that an affront to democracy? Just asking. You know, someone points out, one of the texters, I said Charlie Parker thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and the texter pointed out in most of these press conferences, he's actually the only guy in the room. That I hadn't thought about it in those terms. What's the next one?
We'll go to Cut 12. He goes full rhino here and can't understand why the Republicans are the way they are.
And for the life of me, I can't figure out how people in my party can say all the other elections in which their folks barely won were fine, and the only one that they seem to have any concerns about is the one at the top of the ticket.
Maybe it was because all of those votes that came in after the polling, the counting was shut down for 5 hours, and the fact that votes were being switched around and they were getting videos of them, and the videos of about what was going on in Fulton County, and the glitch in that county in Michigan, and all of the military ballots going for Joe Biden, just to cite some of the information in the thousand sworn affidavits. Okay, we got some more to play.
Yeah, this one's a little bit longer, and everybody should hear the entirety of it, because he absolutely loses his stuff.
Well, should we wait till after the break? We'll wait till
after the break.
We'll wait till after the break, but stand by. Stand by for a barrage from Beta Male Charlie Parker. I recently had a dental emergency, and where did I go? Perfect Smiles. I've said this before, but I was reminded again, this happened last summer, of what a perfectionist Dr. Houghton is. He is a veneer engineer and a world-class dental artist. Being on TV, it's important that I look my best. Dr. Houghton did that for me, and he can do it for you, too. We're in a climate right now where a lot of people don't want to go into the city for whatever reason. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire, just off the highway. Parking is plentiful. Parking is free. I was impressed to see all the state-of-the-art safety protocols they've taken since the virus. And some of them actually make going to the dentist a more pleasurable experience than it used to be, believe it or not. You'll feel safe and confident when you visit Perfect Smiles, and you won't have to worry about opening your mouth. To see for yourself and get your perfect smile, call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. That's 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE, or go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the Perfect Smiles banner. You can also see my video at PerfectSmiles.com. Perfect Smiles. Change your smile. Change your life. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Howie Carr is back.
New year, new hobbies, and everything is better with Raycon wireless earbuds. With up to 6 years of playtime, water, and sweat-resistant construction, and seamless Bluetooth pairing, you can take Raycon's premium audio anywhere you go. Right now, get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
How many Senate seats will the Republicans win in the Georgia runoffs tomorrow? 0, 1, or 2?
2. I'm trying to be optimistic here. The glass is half full.
I think the audience is going along with you. 56% now say that they'll win both Senate seats.
All right.
25% say none.
You know, Kamala Harris, she celebrated Kwanzaa when she was a kid. Nobody knew that, but that's what she said recently. Well, she's got a new whopper out. But first, let's play Charlie Parker losing it this afternoon. Cut 13.
And it is my hope that these initiatives fail and the electors do the right thing. And the transition, the orderly transition that we desperately need as a nation. We just finished 20 minutes of Q&A with you all about the largest and most significant and potentially life-saving vaccine rollout in U.S. history that I think everybody at this point in time would say can't happen fast enough. And I think everybody would also agree that there have been bumps associated with the rollout, which we all expected and anticipated. with the notion that eventually the wheel would start to spin and things would work the way they should. That, in my view, is where our colleagues at the federal level should be focusing their time and their attention, is doing everything they all together possibly can to make sure that every vulnerable American, every healthcare worker, every long-term care resident, every long-term care staff member, and everybody else gets access to those two doses as soon as is practically possible. That should be the focus right now of what our colleagues in Washington are up to, in my view.
Every long-term care resident that hasn't died in one of my nursing homes, that is. I know one out of eight are dead, the highest rate in the country. But I'm angry. I'm angry. God. But wait, he'll be back. We'll play one more here before we go to the Kamala Harris stuff. Cut 14.
Yeah, we'll probably be back sometime toward the end of the week based on the data to make a decision about whether or not to extend that beyond, to extend the current regulations that are in place, orders that are in place, beyond January 10th. Yeah.
What does he care? He's making $270,000 a year. It's no skin off his rear end. Bruce from the Met says, if I hear Parker say folks one more time, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, I know. I know, Bruce. We all feel the same way. Okay, so Kamala Harris, the vice president-elect, she's got another whopper here. So apparently, where is this piece from?
The original piece was published in Ellie or Ella. It's a one of these.
Oh, it's one of those magazines exactly. That nobody reads.
Yeah, it's on the rack at the grocery counter.
Right.
This was published on October 6th of 2020.
Okay. So she says she started her life's work young. She laughs from her gut, the way you would with family, as she remembers being, oh, man. As she remembers, this is the way these female magazines write now, these women's magazines. As she remembers being wheeled through an Oakland, California civil rights march in a stroller.
Why is Charlie Parker reading this?
With no straps, with her parents and her uncle. At some point, she fell from the stroller. Few safety regulations existed for children's equipment back then, and the adults, caught up in the rapture of protest, just kept marching on. By the time they noticed little Kamala was gone and doubled back, she was understandably upset. My mother tells the story about how I'm fussing, and she's like, baby, what do you want? What do you need? And I just looked at her and said, freedom. Freedom.
I'll take things that never happened for 500, Alex.
And somebody has pointed out, this bears a remarkable resemblance to what Martin Luther King told Playboy magazine in an interview in 1965. I will never forget a moment in Birmingham when a white policeman accosted a little Negro girl, 7 or 8 years old, who was walking at a demonstration with her mother. What do you want? The policeman asked her gruffly, and the little girl looked him straight in the eye and answered, Feedom. She couldn't even pronounce it, but she knew. It was beautiful. Many times when I have been in sorely trying situations, the memory of that little one has come into my mind and it has buoyed me. Well, how dare they say this? The little girl in Martin Luther King Jr.'s story said, Feedom. Kamala Harris said, Freedom.
She would have been probably less than a year old should she have been the one that said that.
Yeah, I mean, weren't civil rights demonstrations pretty much... she was born in, what, 1965, something
64.
Like that? 64. 64.
This is another, and that little girl was me, story.
Yeah, I want to see, when was that civil rights demonstration in 1970 or whatever she says it was? You know, they went after Romney for making up a story about being a civil rights demonstration in Detroit. I want to see him go after Kamala Harris the same way. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. 917 says, I think Kamala is confusing her stories. She said freedom when she was visiting Nelson Mandela in his cell in South Africa and telling him what to say. This is another one. 508, funny, Kamala Harris is portraying herself as the Forrest Gump of the civil rights movement when she was essentially born after it. Yeah. I know. 508, Kamala knows how to play liberal white women like a fiddle. She can keep lying. They eat it up. 781, who does Kamala think she is? John Kerry. I was an altar boy. I'm fascinated by rap. I worked on a farm. I windsurfed with the tradesmen on Nantucket. I shot a 24-point buck on Cape Cod. Yes, indeed. Of course you did, John. Of course you did.
Can I get me a hunting license here?
Now they're saying that treatment for lice could be an effective medication against COVID-19. They also said that taking vitamin D could be an effective medication against it. Incidentally, did you read the story yesterday that Bond girl Tanya Roberts had died at the age of 65? Did you see that
story?
Very
fakeness.
Yeah. Never mind. Reports of the death of Tanya Roberts have been greatly exaggerated.
Is it fair to say she'll die another day?
That's a good way to put it. You only live twice, Tanya Roberts, and now you're on your second. A day after releasing a statement saying that the 65-year-old former Bond girl had died, her rep Mike Pingle on Monday made the stunning admission to TMZ that he had been mistaken. Well, I guess it's good news, isn't it? 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls in this these last few segments of the show. And we're glad to have WVOM back with us. They had a University of Maine hockey game, and it preempted us. But thank you. I'm glad you guys are back, and I'm glad you're happy to be back, and I'm glad to be back as well. 844-500-4242. So I found this a rather amusing cut, Taylor, from Charlie Parker. This is when he's talking about the vaccine skeptics, how they can be easily fooled by fake news. As this guy's been purveying fake news for how long? He wanted to flatten the curve for 15 days 9 months ago. In November, he said all it would take would be 30 days of everybody wearing the mask, quote-unquote, religiously. So we're 60 days from wearing the mask for 30 days. And he's still saying, though, that you can trust him. He's not like the others. Cut 7.
All of the conversations that I've been on and the Lieutenant Governor's been on with folks in the healthcare community about people's willingness to take this, I have come to the conclusion that the over-the-top big message from unknown parties of almost any kind, maybe with the exception of Dr. Fauci, are nowhere near as effective as peer-to-peer conversations.
Unknown parties. Are those unknown parties, do they include all your friends who call you up when they're sick and they went out and they were very skeptical of you? Do they include your fisherman friend with his two sons down in New Bedford? Unknown parties. This guy has told as many tall tales as Kamala Harris. Different kind of tall tales, but it's the same basic MO, which is lying through his teeth. 844-500-4242.
My favorite cut here, Howie, is a reporter seems to try to throw a line to the restaurant owners just to give them something to do. You might be able to hear it in the cut. A little tough to hear, but he asks, He says there are a lot of restaurant owners. They are offering their freezers. They have a lot of unusable material right now. Their freezers, their refrigerators, they can store the vaccines. Are you going to look into them for help in finding a place to store the vaccines? Mary Lou Sutter's shuts that down very quick and doesn't want them doing anything.
Yeah. Governor, on that point, we've seen some restaurants coming forward saying, look, we've got freezers, we've got a lot of refrigeration space, of course, and we're not using it for our own customers. Are you looking for help from local businesses to refrigerate vaccine?
So one of the things in the guidance is you can't mix the vaccines with other like food storage.
Ask them if there's any food in the freezers right now.
And he's already announced, we played the cut earlier, that he's going to come back at the end of the week and basically announce that he's still not going to let the restaurants open for any real business. I mean, this 25% thing in January? Is Marty continuing to let the restaurants open outside? Continue the outdoor dining?
I'll tell you, though, Howie, just from driving around, I don't think too many restaurants are adhering to that 25% capacity. I see very full parking lots, and it's not all takeout.
That's good. There's actually a funny story if you go to tonight on turtleboysports.com. I mean, this isn't the first time he's done this, but there's an Everett second-grade teacher who's been haranguing and hectoring and lecturing everybody on her social media about the need to lock down and stay safe, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know where her latest postings were on social media, where they were from, Taylor?
Where?
The Virgin Islands. St. John, a really, really nice place, used to be owned by the Rockefeller family. I happen to have been there a long, long time ago. It's a beautiful place. And do you know what she's not wearing?
A bikini top?
When she's on St. John?
A bikini top?
No. No, you don't need to think about that. She's not wearing a mask. She wants everybody to stay home. She wants those schools to stay closed. But she's out partying in the Caribbean, in the sky blue waters of St. John. Trucker Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Trucker Jason.
Good evening and Happy New Year, and I'm glad you had a good vacation. The whole COVID thing has got me thinking it's like a bad relationship. We're all trying to break up with COVID, and it just keeps stalking us. But the real thing is...
Trucker Jason, I let me make a correction. COVID is not stalking us. The Charlie Parkers of the world are stalking us.
Exactly. And as far as the whole, I took a little break from it myself while you were taking a break from all of this craziness that we're living in, but I was listening about this whole Trump conversation, and I personally think that sometimes, I know why Trump did it and made the phone call, but sometimes I think he likes to stir the pot just to keep things moving, and I really believe, you know, he's got the best intentions in all the world, but I just love how the media feed off it, and he just likes feeding the media. So it's just an interesting concept.
Oh, yeah.
I've come to realize with Trump, you know, and I've always enjoyed him since The Apprentice, and he knows what he's doing, and he didn't get to where he's being or headed by.
He was utterly reasonable in that call, don't you think, Trucker Jason? I mean, he had the stats right in front of him and he presented them to Raffensperger, and Raffensperger, I guess my favorite part of it, though, was when, you know, Trump said, you haven't done anything about this, and he said, what do you mean? We spent an hour and a half before the state Senate. Then there was the committee in the House. We spent an hour and a half, and then we had a press conference. It added up to 6.5 hours. This is a contested presidential election, and the guy in 2 months has spent 6.5 hours by his own account. 6.5 hours.
To ignore it, isn't it? It's a little than it is to deal with it, and I'm just glad that we have a president in office that is willing to take matters in his own hands and get to the bottom of it. So let's hope for January 6th, and let's pray for a miracle, because we every day I think we all keep waking up for that miracle.
I hope so. I hope so, Trucker Jason. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. This is, oh, God. I just... Let's see here. Now, so now, you know, now I've mentioned this before that some of these people are sounding like, you know, the proverbial kid who kills both of his parents and then throws himself on the mercy of the court because he's an orphan. So this is Charlie Baker. He's doing the same thing now. He is, after 76 people are dead on his watch, when he appointed a hack superintendent at the Holyoke Soldiers Home after the guy gave him $950 and gave Karen Polito $1,000. Well, it was right around the same time. He says that now he's helping the people that aren't dead in Holyoke and in Chelsea at the Soldiers Home there. He's helping them out. Cut two.
Last week, all residents and staff at the soldiers' homes in Chelsea and Holyoke who wanted to receive the vaccine were administered first doses, and we're encouraged that the vast majority of eligible residents in both our hospitals and long-term care facilities, as well as staff, appear to be eager and willing to get the first dose of the vaccine.
How about Bennett Walsh, your superintendent who gave you the $950, who's now under a criminal indictment for negligent homicide? Did you give him the vaccine, Charlie? Have you posed for any pictures? You can find those pictures on social media of him posing with the superintendent that he now uses as the patsy, as the fall guy for the 76 dead at the Holyoke Nursing Home. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Happy New Year, Howie.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, as I said, these teachers, you know, I keep seeing them on Turtle Boy and I see them on all these things, and they don't love kids. They love the pension, they love summers off, and they have virtually no competition when they're a teacher. They have one job their whole lives, right?
Yeah, my daughter's a teacher, and I love her, and she works hard, but there's some truth to what you're saying. And you know, but again, it's the hypocrisy more than that, isn't it, Bill? I mean, to be lecturing people, you know, to stay home and that this is a danger and it kills people, et cetera, and then to run off and then flout it like this woman did, you know, not even like holding up a mask. I mean, sometimes I'm down here in Florida and I hold up a mask and I put a lighter to it, but I'm not lecturing other people to wear the mask. You know, that's the difference between people like us and these busybodies, these pests who are telling us how to behave. It's just so irritating. 844-500-4242. We'll take some more calls when we return. I'm Howie Carr.
If you change the station, the Moonbats win. You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
You know, these COVID welfare programs that they've been running, and now they're running them again. One of my kids just got a $1,200 check. She's making good money. But she got it. And now there's stories. The Department of Labor has said that $36 billion has been lost to fraud in pandemic unemployment benefits. The entire unemployment system only paid out about $26 billion in 2019. And now they've lost $36 billion. $36 billion has been stolen. Good Lord. A new bombshell interview with USA Today by a Nigerian scammer, he's obviously not the only one, makes it painfully clear just how carelessly Congress is throwing around our money. A Nigerian student named Moyoya spoke to USA Today and openly admitted to scamming $50,000 from the U.S. pandemic welfare system so far. So if he's getting like $600 or $1,200, how many he had to have pulled off 50 or 60 scams. All he had to do was make a list of real people and then search through available databases of hacked information for their social security numbers and birth dates. And this is what USA Today said. In most states, that information is all it takes to file for unemployment. Even when state applications require additional verification, a little more money spent on sites such as Family Tree Now and Truthfinder provides answers. Your mother's maiden name, where you were born, your high school mascot. It doesn't always work, of course, but the Nigerian told USA Today his success rate is pretty high, about one success for every six claim attempts. Once we have that information, it's over. It's easy money. Everything free in America. I happen to know one person, or I used to know someone who was who got caught. He was down in Rhode Island, and he was filing for restaurants that didn't exist. He was always a bit of a dodgy person, shall we say. I knew him in the radio industry, full of dodgy persons, obviously. But, I mean, how embarrassing is it that you get caught as an American citizen when Nigerians and probably people from all over the world are pulling this stuff off with impunity and just living off this big money? Government bureaucrats were caught flat-footed, and the flood of money being rushed out the door in the name of emergency meant more vulnerabilities than ever. Just to use one state as an example, Washington State, that's Jay Inslee. He's not concerned about welfare fraud, but he is very, very concerned about climate change. Washington State usually identifies only a few dozen fraudsters in a year. Now it has identified more than 122,000 since March. 122,000. Good Lord. (laughs) 603 says, Charlie Parker is concerned about the rising age of hospitalizations after he okays placing positive patients in nursing homes. That's a pretty good point. Yeah, he did do that. And incidentally, has any newspaper other than the Boston Herald and our sister newspaper, the Lowell Sun, reported that? That Charlie Parker has been putting COVID-19 positive patients back into nursing homes, kind of like Andrew Cuomo. Yeah, we wouldn't want to do that. They had a good story in the Globe over the weekend about the fact that it's still costing the state millions of dollars, and they're still throwing out hundreds of drug cases because of Sonia Farak and Annie Ducan, the corrupt jailbird chemist at the state drug labs in Amherst and Jamaica Plain. But there was one thing lacking in the story. It was a good story, too. It was the name of the department where Ducan and Farak worked. You know what the name of the department is? The Department of Public Health. They're the ones who are now managing the COVID response. They're the ones who have managed the nursing homes, which now have the highest death rate in the United States of America after they've thrown out 65,000 drug tests. Two of the chemists have gone to prison, and a third is under investigation. I wonder why the Globe neglected to mention who Farak and Ducan worked for. It would undercut panic porn on Howie Carr.